in the work of the Lord, knowing your labor in the Lord is never in vain. Let's give a hand to the Lord. Our labor in the Lord is not in vain. And that this gospel we preach, and we take it all over the world, it brings peace among nations. Peace with God, peace with ourselves, and peace with others. And so the best way to bring peace around the world is to preach the gospel. And so I thank you very much. The title of the message is The Macedonian Call from Acts chapter 16. We will be reading Acts chapter 16 from verse 6 to verse 15. Acts chapter 16, verse 6. Chapter 16, verse 6 to verse 15. The Macedonian Call. I will read from the NIV version of the Bible. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus, which is another way of saying the Holy Spirit, would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia. That's where I drew the title of the message from. Come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready, and we, there meaning the writer of the book of Acts, who happens to be Dr. Luke at Troas, now joins Paul and Silas and Timothy to do this joint mission. It is the second missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. We got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight to Samothrace, and the next day we went to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia, which actually is the northern part of Greece as we know it today, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for your word, which is just amazing. And I commit myself and us in your hands, even as I deliver this message you've given to me, that God, you would come through for us and speak to us in manifold ways, because God, you're not limited in how you come through for your people. And therefore, I commit this moment to you with joy and thanksgiving for the congregation here, the ones in the pavilion, and the ones following online. In Jesus' name we pray, and we all say, amen. Amen. We may have our seats. The Macedonian call, I've just read the text, and I want to divide this one in three parts, because the Bible encourages us to divide correctly the word of truth. And this call, I call it a sovereign call, a strategic call, a significant call. Let me come back on it. The Macedonian call, a sovereign call, a strategic call, and a significant call. First of all, a sovereign call. God is not limited in the way he envisions his people. And why he chooses to envision his people in a sovereign way is because he would like to mobilize them or to encourage them to respond to his call and actually to get them where he needs them to be. And so God will sovereignly trespass or sovereignly find his way into our mental space or emotional space or any other space that we have. And God will show up there and, envision us. And so God is sovereign in the call of Paul and his team as they make the next step in terms of their missionary journey. But the second way you see the sovereignty of God in the passage I just read is that God opens and closes doors. So not only does he envision his people, he also opens and shuts doors. And so under the sovereign nature of God's call is that he's at liberty to enter your space suddenly. Even in a service like this one, you are here and suddenly in your picture world, all of a sudden, as a preacher is preaching, something begins to show up. And that thing has a sense of urgency, and it tends to invite you, to get engaged and get connected. And so God is not limited in his own ways in terms of how he plugs in his people, in terms of his purpose, and also in his will. And that's why you find in the text that I just read from verse 6 to 10, so that you just hear within the context of my introduction there, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to do so. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision. This is the envisioning of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. And my invitation today is asking us to give God free course and free way to interrupt the programs of our lives and be God as he needs to be, and actually hold us by the hand and shepherd us, you know, and shepherd us. God exercises divine discretion, and God is not limited. He's not subject to time. He's not subject to space. And he's not also subject to circumstances. And therefore, he has a freedom of movement this way, that way, the other way, up and down. And God is not stopped by walls and the infrastructure we set up around ourselves, especially when we want to be distant and difficult, and when we don't want God to come and get involved in our lives. Let me say this: God is sovereign, and his call is sovereign. This Macedonian call is a sovereign call. It's coming from God, who is absolute, God who is all able, God who is not limited, and God who cannot be confined. And therefore he comes over to this man called Paul and his team, and he sovereignly engages them. And as I was reading, I'm sure you are here in several areas, either of divine trespass or divine realignment, because most of us are where we want to be and not where God wants us to be. And therefore our encounter and engagement of God has this tendency of realigning us to the center of the will and the purpose of God, to bring us to the place where God desires. And that is why when you engage God, there's always this churning and this movement, and sometimes a sense of restlessness, because God is moving me from where I want to be to the place where he wants me to be. And so in those first few verses that I've just read, you are seeing God engaging man and trying to pull God, man, to the center of his will and his purpose. And he does that as God. He is sovereign. And there are two ways, as you can see there, in the envisioning, whereby there is a man from Macedonia in a vision, and it's at night, and Paul sees a man from Macedonia, and he's kind of desperate, and he's saying, "Come help us." That picture and that image is so stirring. It's so engaging. Paul cannot remove his eyes and his mind and his heart from it. It completely consumes it. And you know, the vision is saying, "Come help us. Come help us." And I know in the neighborhoods where we live, there are many things that are inviting us. And that's how the Macedonian call is a universal call. It's a present call. It's a call around us when we are sleeping and when we are waking. And that's why I said God can trespass. You find something that needs to be fixed and something that needs to be done, and it invites you in terms of engagement. And so Paul is there, and God is there, and God is engaging this man. And that's why I say today, let us give God free will and free course to deal with us as he so desires. And so that image comes up, and he cannot but engage and connect with it. They're in a place called Trails. Luke, Dr. Luke has just joined them. And by this vision, there is a clear call and there is a clear invitation. Let me say, when God is leading, it becomes very clear. The second aspect of sovereignty is that God opens and shuts doors. One way God leads us, another way God leads us, apart from the images and the envisioning, is that there is a systematic way of opening and shutting doors. And you may be going in one direction, and that door shuts, and some people stay there for a very long time, and you may be here. You have been operating at a shut door for the last 10 years or the last 5 years, and you have stuck there for a long time. May this sermon of today encourage you to shift your focus in a different direction, or to go on a retreat outside the hustle and bustle of the city. Go to a prayer center in a particular place and just be there alone with God, and just talk about doors that are shutting and opening. And God, in his own sovereign way, does shut doors, and you keep trying to go in that direction and it doesn't work. Maybe it's a business idea, maybe it's a career direction, whatever it is, and you're stuck there for a very long time. And God is saying today to you, my son and my daughter, I will bring you to my purpose and to my will. Just become gentle and soft to me, and listen to the whisper of the Holy Spirit, and I will show you the door. Revelation 3, verse 7 and 8 talks about this idea of doors. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. And that's a very important key. It's a master key. It's a key that belongs to one and only the king, and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. And the scriptures go on. God calls, and he calls sovereignly. And people who are in rebellion will find themselves in spaces either where there are closed doors, or in spaces where they saw a vision or a dream and God was leading you in a very clear way, but they put it in the back burner, you know, and after that they live a life of not fulfilled, because there is a call that's obvious. There's a call that is in your life, but for some reason, God has tried everything he can, and you have not followed it. It is possible to know God's will and know it well. God reveals himself through the Holy Spirit. He reveals himself through his word. He reveals himself through circumstantial providence. He reveals himself through godly counsel. You know, people who are godly. And everywhere we go, a word will keep coming in your direction saying, you are off course. You are off course. You are off course. You need realignment. And so I thank God for this call, the Macedonian call, because it reminds us about the sovereignty of God in the call. It's a sovereign call. God's ways are not our ways, neither are his thoughts are our thoughts. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so are his ways above our ways, and his thoughts above our thoughts. That is Isaiah 55 and verse 8 and 9. And because God, therefore, his ways are not my ways, and his thoughts are not my thoughts, I should grow into his ways and grow into his thoughts. It should not be the other way around. And so on a daily basis, therefore, we find ourselves in a journey of trying to figure out how things are going to be. But I want to say God is there. May I speak to somebody here and say there is an open door for you. And there is an open door that is custom door. It is customized. It's a customized door. When God created you, it was for a purpose. It was for a mission. You are not generic. You are not one in a crowd. God knows you by name. He knows every hair. He knows every toe. He knows your future. He understands everything about your situation. Why don't you turn to him? Because he is the one who knows where you need to be. And there is an open door. There is an open door for every person. Every person, there is an open door. And my prayer through this sermon is that you find that door and you walk through it in Jesus' name. Is somebody connecting with me? May you find that door in the pavilion. There is somebody there. And I'm saying there is an open door. You are watching online. There is an open door. I know it as a servant of God that it's not God's plan that anybody gets stuck and stays in a closed door. There is an open door, and he who holds the key of David has opened it. The Apostle Paul finds it. He tries to go where he wants to go. The Holy Spirit, two times, going towards Asia, my Asia, the Holy Spirit just stops it. He tried the other way. The Holy Spirit stopped it. But the fact that this door is locked and that door is locked does not mean there is no open door. And thank God for people who are sensitive to God's leading. Suddenly there is a vision and there is a voice and there is a clarity. He gets to trials, they get into a boat, and then they are gone. There is a door that is open. So don't stick at the door of somebody else. Don't leave out somebody else's dream or somebody else's vision. Understand the will of God for you. There is an open door. There is an open door for everyone. And God sovereignly, and he will even trespass into the mind to make sure this individual is able to see that open door. But secondly, a strategic call. Not only a sovereign call, but a strategic call. And this is divine direction. We dealt with discretion first. A strategic call. God wants every person to engage strategically. And therefore, the management of time, energy, and resources for every individual must be maximized. That is really God's plan for every individual. And therefore, every day must count. Mondays must count. Tuesdays must count. Wednesdays must count. Thursdays and Fridays and Saturdays and Sundays. Every day. Every month, every year, for every individual, not only is there an open door, there is a strategic consummation for every individual. And the resources and gifts that God has given you, talents and gifts and resources, opportunities and platforms, all of them need to be engaged and connected together in places where they must be optimized. And that is what is happening here, a strategic call. God doesn't just call generic. He calls every person by name. But second, he leads them in a place where they shall blossom, where they shall flourish, where they shall look at their outputs and be able to say, thank you, God, I am fulfilled. I thank you and I bless you. God leads his people to places where when they put minimum effort, there is maximum returns. It is not God's will that people just work so hard and then at the end of the day, all they are getting are droplets. God wants us to become rivers of living waters. John 7:38, out of you shall flow rivers of living waters, not a struggle of droplets. And so you are very gifted. You are very talented. God has invested in us, every one of us, and God will lead us into that strategic platform where we shall fully be fulfilled. And that's what's happening in verse 11 to verse 14. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, some of these names. And the next day, we went on to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi. I talked about this town, and this Philip was the father of Alexander the Great. So this town is named after the father of Alexander the Great. It was a Roman colony and the leading city, key. This is strategic. The leading city of that district of Macedonia. And we stayed there. Remember I said this is Greece. On the Sabbath, when we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer, we sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. So there is a strategic city for every individual. For Paul, it's Philippi. And there is also a strategic partner. For Paul is a woman called Lydia, and she was an influential businesswoman from a town called Thyatira. And she was positioned by God strategically, and that city, God made it strategic. And Paul would have gone the wrong direction to Asia, my Asia, worked so hard, get so little returns. But God leads him by a vision. He must go to the strategic center and platform where he must thrive and where he will flourish. You know, by going to Philippi and by ministering there, then the gospel would come back to Asia. Hundreds of people will be sent from this strategic center, and they will go and accomplish what Paul would have spent many years trying to do, and eventually die and is buried, and they are giving a eulogy, and they say a guy who worked so hard but got so much little coming back. So there is a Philippi for everyone. There is a strategic city that God wants you to get to. There is also a partner and a connector, a destiny builder, an influencer that God wants you to connect with. And this lady, she's in Philippi. How do you get to that? Except by God's leading. And that's why it is important to submit to God's will and to surrender to God's will. God, by his grace, has chosen us to be members of a strategic city called Nairobi. This city here we are staying in is a hub city. This is a hub city. And how do I know? Because nations are coming here. Hallelujah. Nations are coming here. Which other country has a United Nations center in Africa? Actually, I think there are only two in the world. Am I wrong? Three, maybe? New York, Geneva, and probably Nairobi. Where we have the... Yeah. Rome, eh? Italy as well. You can see we are really among the few, but across Africa, we are the only one. Why don't you give a hand clap to the Lord because of Kenya and God putting us in a strategic city. It's the hub of the nations, and I'm seeing even more nations coming here. I thank God for this highway that has come from the airport, running on up to somewhere here, James Gishuru. These days, you can come from the airport to James Gishore in about 20 minutes. Yeah? Or maybe 25. For the fast drivers, 15 minutes. My brother Sosion, I know you're a fast driver. Yeah, for the fast driver, maybe 15 minutes. But God has laid the infrastructure within a strategic city, put a strategic people, so that we can maximize on our impact. And I believe that Parklands Baptist Church, by our positioning, by the way, 10 acres of land in Westlands. Here is a road, Raptor Sports, another Saitoti there, roads. And if you look around, we have easily in the last 23 years become a hospitality center. When we came here 23 years ago, these tall buildings you see around here, this Ibis, is it called Ibis? There's another one I say, Park Inn, and I think it should belong to Parklands Baptist Church. It's somewhere here, in Jesus' name. God is able to make it happen. And our visitors will be sleeping there, because the hotel will be ours. This one you're seeing here, Park Inn. There's Africa, one Africa, right here. You just walk outside here, and you look around. 23 years ago, because we came here, year 2000, none of these buildings was there. You look at the strategic position, and God reminds us, even by the infrastructure around us, that you are meant for greatness. There is something I want out of you, and I want you to change the world. I really want you to change the world. Yes, we can give a hand to the Lord. Change the world. So strategic positioning is a divine thing. And I'm not here as a pastor by accident. And therefore, I understand my calling, I understand my responsibility as a leader, and I must rise to the occasion, and I must provide what is needed to grant that horizon view, you know, horizon view that is actually needed. But just by placing, just by the city, just by everything God has given us, There is a strategic blessing concerning you, and God wants you to maximize on everything that you have. And therefore, God must take Paul from wherever he was trying to go according to his plan and strategy, and cancel those strategies, place him on in his strategy, divine strategy, and then bring him to Philippi, because that's where he must be. And then he meets this woman as he goes out of the gate. There's a prayer center there, and they are praying. All of that, imagine, is sovereign leadership, is strategic leadership. God is a planner. God is a strategist. If you think God doesn't understand the elements of strategy, things like vision, things like mission, things like SWOT analysis, things like all these things we talk about, God understands them better than any human being. God is the best planner, the best strategist. And let me say this, there is a strategy for your victory. Are you receiving this? Every one of us here, no wonder you can say I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus our Lord. And you are meant for great output. And so there is the strategy. When they needed fish, the disciples in Luke chapter 5, Jesus told these disciples, launch into the deep, just throw your net there. It wasn't the right time, but when God of the marketplace, and his name is Jesus, says a marketplace word, why, who am I not to align with it? And although Peter struggled with the divine speaking, and God is saying, I have the strategy even on fishing. Matters fishing. Can you imagine? Matters fish. And he says, go back there. You had caught nothing. You tried to work in your own strength. You caught nothing. But divine strategy will bring back the harvest. And so he goes in there. They throw the nets. And they caught more fish than they ever caught. I see somebody catching more fish than you ever caught in life. In the name of Jesus Christ. Because God has opened that door for each one of us. But God has released a strategy that will cause us to optimize with the skills and everything that we have. Let me say to the people of Africa, this is our hour. Hallelujah. This is our time. This is our day. The Holy Spirit has been poured liberally upon this continent. And God is speaking people from all over Africa and is positioning them in the places where they need to be. And God is going to do wonders with every one of us. Is somebody catching what I'm saying? Let's give God another hand. Hallelujah. On Friday, I was in Narok, and I got through Narok town, went past Narok towards Masai Mara into some remote space called Ololoshua, sounded like Leleshua, Oleleshua, and I was received very nicely. And by the way, when I went there, interesting enough, that the people group there, because of the ministry out there, it was actually to appreciate the doctorate. And so I put the whole gown in the dusty grounds there. And with all these people coming and singing around, it was amazing. And as I was walking with this crowd in that place, my eyes, attention was drawn to the horizon because it's a big plain and then some hills in the backdrop. And then within that, some cloud formation that was there. And as we were walking to the tents where we were going to sit, I looked in that horizon, and within me, those clouds and the horizon started speaking. I saw a picture, and I saw the glory of God. And I heard God telling me, I'm revealing my glory in a new way. And then it went on to say, go tell Parklands Baptist Church on Sunday that I will reveal my glory through them. And I, hallelujah, hallelujah, I will reveal my glory through them. And I will take them in spaces where they'll be optimized and spaces they never, ever imagined. Is somebody connecting with that? I had God tell me that. And so I'm telling you today, under the hot sun, under the elements, walking, but God envisioning me, and he's showing me his glory, and he's saying, I am revealing it through Parklands Baptist Church, this strategic church in Nairobi, in a strategic city, in a strategic season and time, with technology and everything that we have, and I'm going to reveal my glory. The young people of Africa, in the first service, I had a young man, you remember those who were here, who came up to here, he was sitting somewhere around here, and I laid his hand as I was continuing with the sermon. The young people of Africa, when you hear us say, arise and shine, I come back to you around here. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Then in verse 3, that's Isaiah 60 verse 1, it says, nations will come to your light and kings to the rising of your dawn. How many are connecting with that? Glory to God. Let's give a big hand clap to Jesus. I have a very deep conviction about that. And every day, the last 20 years, 21, actually 22 years, I've been praying for Nairobi and Kenya and Africa. My Monday from morning till evening is prayer. It's a day of prayer, and I drive. I stop at population centers, supermarkets, hospitals, schools, anywhere. I stop and I pray. And as I pray regarding the city and regarding the continent, every time I do that, I see the potential we have to make the difference worldwide. Let me say, wewe sio kidogo. Can you say, mimi sio kidogo? Let's say it again. Never underestimate your capacity. All you need is a platform. God will strategically get you there. And as I speak, if you pray in your heart, God, get me to that very strategic place where I will maximize on me, on everything that I am. Now, when I'm standing here, I'm addressing many people. And when I was in Korogosho, those days I grew up in the slums. And you know, God made it clear when I went to Uhuru Park one time at the upside where the government offices are. And you can see now Uhuru Park down there. Uhuru Highway is there. And then you see the city in the backdrop. While I was there, I saw the map of Africa come upon Uhuru Park. And let me tell you, years later, God is amazing. That's why I insisted this map must be put here. And I remember I was told, no, when it is being washed, it will be rubbed. Carpets, maybe we should put carpets. But thank God the map is here. I saw it on Uhuru Park. And I heard the voice of God saying, I give you Africa. I give you Africa. I heard it. I heard the voice of God. From the slums, now I'm standing here maximizing. God has given you a platform. Hallelujah. Let's give a hand to the Lord. It is possible. It is possible. For a young man from the slums, it doesn't matter your background. Don't let that put you down. People have said many things about you. Don't allow it to affect the destiny that God has. It's a big destiny. Just simply obey. And Paul followed the plan of God. And so that strategy is something that is inside the call. So God doesn't just call. You know, some people think the only call is the call to salvation. Then when you're called to salvation, I'm okay. I'm home and dry. I can come sit in the pews and I can come watch the drama. But let me say that God has much more. The call is sovereign. It's from God. The call is strategic. God wants you to maximize on what you have. Parklands Baptist Church, let me raise it, bring it home. Parklands Baptist Church and the leadership of this church, how are we maximizing on what God has given us? What kind of meetings do we have? Committee meetings, what do they discuss? How is it moving us forward? How is it aligning to the will and purpose of God? That is personal reflection as a leader, and I invite the other leaders also on board. Let us reflect. Are we where we should be? Or are we where God wants us to be? Rather, let me ask it different. Are we where we want to be or we think we should be? Or are we where God wants us to be? Congregation, what is your reflection on that? What would you say? As God talks to you, would you say we are where God wants us to be? Or are we where we want to be? I leave it as a question. I really leave it as a question. But God is a mobilizer. He'll give you a vision. He'll open and close doors. He must get you where he wants you to be. And Paul is now at Philippi, strategic city, a strategic lady, and there is a ministry being released. And my prayer is this. May God locate you in that strategic place where you will blossom and you will flourish and the best of you shall come out. Even street boys and girls have a future. Yes, street boys and girls. Daniel, would you stand? Yeah, come up here. Daniel has a background in the streets. And so I've called him. And you can see he's a weightlifter. Very built very well. He's my son in the faith. And Daniel has come from the streets. If another day, maybe we'll give you a chance to really share the story of your background. But can you see what the Lord has done? He looks handsome, yeah? And he's looking good. And I'm telling you, he has a very powerful ministry as Westgate, isn't it? Yes, and you're touching CEOs. Let's give another hand to the Lord. This is Daniel. And not only that, you got married when? 29th of July, and I conducted the wedding. Where is your wife? Would you stand? Just stand up where you are. Let's give a hand to the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Daniel. You may have your seat. Yes, thank you very much. But the narrative is changing. Hallelujah. And God is, by the power of the Holy Spirit, nudging you to that place where he wants you to be. And as God is doing it, don't resist God. Don't resist God. Just simply allow him, and he will get you there. There is a dream, and I say, like Lupita Nyong'o, your dream is valid. It is valid. Joseph's dream was there. It was valid. And God in the last days is revealing himself through dreams, you know, through vision, through the prophetic dimension, and he has discretion, and he's doing it. So God has been speaking to you. How far have you gone in terms of your response? But finally, in the interest of time, I must finish, talk about a significant call. A sovereign call, a strategic call, a significant call. Just one verse in the book of Acts, chapter 16 and verse 15. What does he say? When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. The mission and the ministry of Paul settles in a homestead. The life of a lady called Lydia, like Lydia, who is going to Rwanda, God bless you. And then her family, they gave their lives to Christ. And immediately they were baptized. And then they made an invitation for this leadership now to make their home a church. So she grants her boat, she grants her life, she grants her everything. And she's saying, use this space for the glory of God so that this strategic mission may find its consummation. And you know what? This was so key. You know, the significance of this is that the church is now planted in Europe for the first time. The church is now planted in Europe for the first time. And the first church in Europe, the church at Philippi, was actually planted in the homestead of a lady. Her name is Lydia, a businesswoman. You know, she gives her platform, a business lady, and the church in Europe planted for the first time. Now, look at it coming down the years. From that church at Philippi, they move on. There is Thessalonica, there is Corinth, there is Athens, there is Berea, and they're leading the whole Macedonia circuit. And from the strength they're getting from that church, they're planting new churches. And then over time, Europe, Christendom, let me put it this way, Europe becomes the center of gravity of Christendom. And the missionary enterprise is actually accelerated from Europe. It began in Jerusalem, then went to Antioch, the next center, and then now it has gone to Philippi, and from there it is thrust to the ends of the earth. You know, Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. The Holy Spirit is the commander-in-chief of the missionary enterprise. And he's propelling his people to reach the farthest point, the farthest extremities of the world. And from a home state, the next thrust of the gospel is released. World changers. Talk about a world changer like Lydia. From there, we become beneficiaries because it goes to North America, South America, and back on to Africa and even farther in Asia. And we have the global missionary enterprise. It all began in the house of a lady called Lydia. And therefore, this was significant in the sense that the first church in Europe is eventually founded because of this particular call. It is a significant call. I want to say this. God has called you unto significance. And therefore, what he wants you to start will thrive. It will also last. John 15 verse 16 says, I have chosen you and ordained you. Let me just read from verse 15. You did not choose me. Go back to verse 15. You did not choose me. 15. Go back, yes. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Now listen to these words here, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. May God lead you to a place where you shall do things that leave a legacy. That you shall do things that are of significance and things that will stand the test of time. And I'm speaking across the board in your own platforms and where God has put you. May you rise to significance. Hallelujah. May you rise to that level that is called significance. The Apostle Paul is immortalized by the letters he wrote, but also by the work he did, which eventually now spreads all over the world. And I want to say to us, as here at Parklands Baptist Church, let us constantly reflect on the things we do and align ourselves to the things God really wants us to do. And God is leading Parklands Baptist Church to do saturation church planting. I know that what I've said is a missiological statement, but God is leading us to do saturation church planting. What I mean, establish churches everywhere. Brother Georgie, you probably understand that. Establish churches everywhere. My daughter Lynn, yeah? Establish what? Churches everywhere. I'm coming to a close now. You know, out of my prayers every Monday, and I go around, God made it clear we shall take the city, we shall take the nation, and we shall take Africa. Then I asked God, how can this be done? And it was clear to me as I prayed, establish small communities called house groups. In my prayer, and I'm talking to the leadership now, is that they become house churches. So the full ministry actually happens there. That was the vision actually, house churches. But the intermediate step was house groups. And we have them all over right now. I think we have about 300 or thereabout, all over. They are around small communities. And then the next word that came was take the gates. Take the gates. Why did I come to that? Because I drove around. I saw there is a military camp. As you come from Mombasa, near the airport, we have the army. If you take Langata Road, we have the army somewhere. If you take Waiyaki Way, we have the army somewhere. If you take Thika Road, we have the army. And it was like, if the people of the world know how to handle gates and put watchmen, in these gates, why can't we as a church establish gate churches? And I thank God today we have East Gate, we have now North Gate, we are working on South Gate, and I pray we do West Gate so that this one becomes the center. Ukuju, Pandeawida, Pastor Mashina is the expert of house groups right here. And it's him. And you remember last time, Elgeyo Marakwet initiative coming from house groups. And then the word went further. Shall you establish these gate churches? By clustering the house groups. You take 15, 19, 20 house groups in a particular direction, bring them together, commission them, let them get started. You check the other side, a number of house groups, cluster them together, let them commission them, let them get started. We are not supposed to be here forever in this place here. Huh? No, not never. You know, God wants us to span out. And God wants us to reach the rest of the world. And I tell you, that's a very powerful strategy. And therefore, this church, house churches, be grouped together and form gate churches. And these gate churches shall be established in concentric circles, with this one in Westlands at the center, epicenter, and then easterly direction, East Gate, and East Gate plants churches to Mombasa, dotting the whole roads. And then the one that will be there will dot all the way to Busia. You know, churches all over. And you know, Northgate will go north to Ethiopia and North Africa. Eastgate shall also handle Asia and concentrate in that direction. And Westgate shall handle Americas. Northgate shall handle Europe. And God made it so clear that this shall be done. The vision may tarry, but it shall come through. And therefore, where God has positioned us now, we are at the point of takeoff. Takeoff. A point of takeoff. And when Paul did his work in Philippi, significance happened because the first church was planted in the home of Lydia, and the rest is history. You and I are in a sanctuary. There are many churches in Nairobi. They came from that epicenter of what you call the ends of the earth thrust, which happened in Philippi. And so, my brothers and my sisters, I come to a point of prayer, is just to ask that we pray that the Holy Spirit propels us like he propelled Paul to the center of his will and purpose. That you don't rest until you know you're fully aligned to the will and purpose of God. You and your household, that's what happened to Lydia. You start there. Lydia and her household, fully aligned. But also, corporately as a church, that we are propelled by the Holy Spirit to the place where we are fully aligned. Where we invest our resources in the right places in terms of advancement of the kingdom of God. And that is my prayer today, and I pray that this is our prayer together on the basis of the scripture that I just talked. And so this theme of this month is a powerful one. The empowered call. And God has called us to be world changers. And everybody here has the capacity to become the epicenter of a God movement. And not just the person next to you. Talking about me. And I'm saying, I am giving my life afresh to you, my God. You gave me a vision. You've given me the resource and the passion. My God, I give myself again to you. That you may lead me strategically, and that you may lead me to the place where I may blossom and become fruitful. And this can be a prayer for every one of us. That career, that office you occupy, you know, it belongs to the Lord. The life you have belongs to the Lord. Everything that you have belongs to the Lord. And God is speaking very clearly, and is actually saying, I have a strategic place for you. So don't live on the margins. You know, come to the center and allow God to say to you, I'm picking you, I'm going to use you in ways you've never, ever, and I believe what I'm saying, in ways you've never, ever imagined. I'm telling you, in about a year, there are people who are coming back with testimonies here. And they're going to be big testimonies. In about a year. There's a time I prophesied here, I said helicopters will be landing and taking off from here. And I declared this place a helipad. It is coming. And what's going to happen is that they'll be coming here to take people being taken to their assignment. And it's an urgent activity. They will land and they will take off. I see it so clearly. It is coming. Let's believe together. And those pilots will be these people here. Yeah? God is going to enrich you in such a way. One of you from here will come and say, Pasi, I'm buying that helicopter. Is somebody catching it here and saying, I'm going to buy it? These young people you see, I'm going to buy it. And God will give you an idea that is earth-breaking. And you'll be paid for that idea. And the 10% will buy a helicopter. Are you getting me? Yeah, buy a helicopter. And why not? And therefore, God wants to prosper his people, but he wants to prosper them in context because he has his will and he has his purpose that needs to be fulfilled. And so I thank God for everything that he's doing. Those who the Lord has opened doors to do, you know, to travel around the world. And actually we are praying, you know, we are, that visas are stamped. Not so that you just go get more money. And it is so that you end up where God wants you to be. And God would use you there tremendously. And so, my brothers and sisters, I pray the fire of the Holy Spirit. The fire of the Holy Spirit. May that fire land upon you. May the passion for lost souls be rekindled. May the realignment happen. May this connection come through. The Apostle Paul said, I'm prepared to spend and be spent for the souls of men. You get to the place where 24/7 you can be in the front lines of the service of God, and you just want to keep going and going and going. The days of nominalism are over. Now these are the days to engage in the front lines of the call of God and simply say, I am open. God, have your sovereign will and way in my life. God, plug me in your work according to your calling. And God, I want to make a difference. If you are a mama mboga and you run a kiosk, at that kiosk, it can become the epicenter of divine change in the whole neighborhood. The instigation and move of the Holy Spirit can happen. I remember the big revivals in the world. Some of them started in a haystack, a place for hay, universities, and among students. And they just started praying. And they brought global change. Some of it are affecting industrialization, technology, innovation. Because when the move of the Spirit happens, then people's minds also unlock. And God begins to do amazing things. And so my brothers and sisters, I'll ask us to stand now as we pray together. And as I make an altar call here, following what I've just shared. Listen now, I told you I saw a vision in Narok, and I saw in the horizon the rising hills and those cloud formations there. I saw like silver linings and light, you know, shining on the clouds, and it looks bright. I saw the glory of God, and I heard God saying, I'm revealing my glory in a fresh way. And then he went further and he said, through Parklands Baptist Church, I will reveal my glory afresh, not just in Kenya, but across Africa and the world. And he told me, go tell that congregation. That is what I am saying. I am making this altar call that you respond as the Lord leads you to say, I want to be part of that army that will be used of God to reveal his glory in every platform that God has actually given us. And I want to be strategically positioned. Number two of that prayer is that, God, I am available and ready. Can you show me the open door? And can you lead me clearly by vision and dreams and visions in a way that I'll end up in that strategic platform or that strategic place where, God, I can actually optimize my gifts and talents and become everything that I need to be. And we can pray for the country, Kenya, so that it hosts great men and women, and that our economic policies and all the other policies become friendly to what I'm saying. Because when God begins to move and do things in his glory, he you can't put new wine in old wineskins. He works on parliament. He works on judiciary. He works on the army. He works on the roads. He works on families. He works on the whole infrastructure to be able to facilitate what he's about to do. And so what I'm praying is a big thing. It is a big thing. The glory of God revealed, unstoppable. You know? And then the relocation to the strategic position by God. When we pray this prayer, an earthquake happens. Foundations are shaken. And God facilitates the achievement of this kind of prayer. This prophecy, this vision inside this prayer must be realized. And so Kenyans and Africans, let us be prepared for what God is about to do. For a long time we have quoted the scripture, arise and shine, your light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. The time of implementation, execution and actualization of this scripture in our lifetime is actually now. And God is more than able, Ephesians 3:20, exceedingly abundantly above, to do above all that we can ask or even imagine. What we agree on earth is agreed in heaven, and what we lose on earth is lost in heaven. And so as I lead us in this prayer, hallelujah, yes, you can give a hand to the Lord. Glory to God. We are raising an altar for Africa. We are raising an altar for Kenya. We are raising an altar for our families and generations from us. I want you to see this prayer beyond yourself. Of course, you are there, but let it be a service. Let this prayer be a service. Let this prayer become an overflow. Let this be prayer be something that touches somebody around the world. And this Kenya has a prophetic destiny. It is the epicenter of what God wants to do. The center of gravity of the missionary enterprise is shifting and has shifted to Africa. We must arise to the calling, and today is the day to pray this prayer. And as we pray this prayer, God is taking over. He's going to change so many things so that you may get to that strategic place and position where God wants to use you. If we are in agreement, we are going to pray. That is exactly the altar call that I'm actually making. God, you have given us great men and women who understand your word when it is preached. God, you've given us great men and women who have soft hearts and they know the word needs to find a landing. But God, you've given us great men and women who not only allow the word to land in their hearts, but they become like Lydia. They open their home and they open their everything and they give themselves to God so that their place becomes God's place. And God begins to use those spaces. And so I'm going to pray. Let's trust God together. The people in the pavilion, we are praying. The ones online, let us connect. If you are near your TV or whatever, get closer. I'm praying for the move of the Holy Spirit now in our season and dispensation. Because in my spirit, I sense this is the time. This is the hour. It's Africa's hour. And God is about to do something new. We've just come from a revival altar. And here we are following up on this revival. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for leading me today in circling or emphasizing the Macedonian call. And God, thank you for leading me into the outline, a sovereign call, a strategic call, and a significant call. And God, I know it's because you're speaking to somebody. You just need one person to change the whole world. You don't need a big crowd. You just need one person. My God, who is connecting with you. And thank you for Paul, who connected in his time, season, and generation. Thank you for us who are here today, who are connecting in our season and time and generation with all the things that surround us, technology plus everything else. My God, thank you for this message. And now, Father, the next level is where this message becomes a personal message. I thank you that, Lord, lead us to this place where we make it our own. The same way Paul made it his own. And when the vision came of this man of Macedonia who was desperately saying, come help us. He understood this to be God's leading. And he followed the trail. He ended up in a very fruitful and very flourishing center where he could do his ministry. God, that we make it our personal call. And God is saying, I am speaking to you. I know you by name. Everything you have, I gave you. And I'm going to trust you with much more. More than you've ever imagined. But today, I want you to remove your eyes from the closed doors and look at the open door I have made. I made you for a purpose. I made you for a mission. I made you to optimize everything that you are, but this is done on the platform of purpose and mission and God's will. And now turn your eyes from that place where you have brought yourself and you have wanted to be. And begin to say, God, now take me where you want me to be. And this is the invitation that you pray that prayer at a personal level. How it works out, God knows. You know, you will partner together. But all I can tell you is going to lead you to a nice place. And God is about to do something. Because God has made Kenyans, because of the prophetic destiny, for global impact. Even within career areas, God wants you to change the world. And so allow yourself and give God a permission to actually take over. The same way Lydia gave her house. And her house became the first church in Europe. And from the house of Lydia, the world has actually been changed. God is saying, I know you. I know where you are. You can rise to another level. I can use you much more. All you need to do is surrender. Look at the open door I have made and begin to go in that direction. My God, I thank you for many who are responding to this call today to become the Paul of today. And Father, thank you for these responses. Number 3, as we personalize this call, God is saying, I am going ahead of you, and I have prepared the way and the landing and the resources and everything you need. I have opened a big door before you that actually no man can shut. And this door, you will go through it. You shall live in the land of the living. You shall live to see yourself. Go through this door. And I clear every handicap, every roadblock, every destruction, every delay, every procrastination, every resistance to the move of the Holy Spirit. And now release us into the flow of the river of God, like Pastor Ambrose shared in the book of Ezekiel. Not just knee deep or ankle deep or waist deep, but to the place where we release ourselves. Oh, my brother, my sister, this is the part to allow the Holy Spirit. I don't know how this is coming across to you. To allow the Holy Spirit to take over and to say, as I am the whole of me, I completely go into the river of the Holy Spirit. I plug in and I allow God to take me where I need to be. It is time this coming week and the next days ahead for us to be aligned to where God wants us to be. And God is leading you from where you are to where he wants you to be. And that's a place of blessing. It's a place where you will grow and prosper. And if you are agreeing with this prayer, just lift your hand. I see. Father, thank you for these hands that are coming up. Because Lord, here I am, including me. And I'm saying, God, I want to go to the next level. And I pray, put wings on me. Like the Bible says, they fly with wings like eagles. Put wings on us. Lord, that we shall fly. We shall succeed. We shall blossom. We shall flourish. We shall be in strategic centers and strategic spaces where our efforts shall bring returns, and that these returns shall be lasting and they shall be significant. If you are praying this prayer, God is saying, I have done it. Just simply believe me. As you get out of this sanctuary today, may the power of the Holy Spirit come upon you afresh. If you have never prayed for the Holy Spirit to come upon you, even tonight in your bedroom, in all the bedrooms tonight, I decree a visitation of the Holy Spirit in every bedroom tonight, on every bed tonight, on every bed tonight, and it's a visitation of the Holy Spirit. Tonight the bedrooms are becoming incubators, because the Holy Spirit will come upon you and something will be happen within you, your mind, your spirit, your body, and everything, and there will be a realignment. You shall wake up tomorrow saying, I am clear what God wants with my life. I am engaging it. I am unstoppable and I shall do it. This is the night. Tonight is the night of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit visiting bedrooms. People who don't know Jesus will receive Jesus tonight in their bedrooms. People who are not aligned will get aligned tonight because of the Holy Spirit. Every bedroom, for children, for adults, every bedroom, I decree, I prophesy, I speak. The city of Nairobi, the Holy Spirit is coming tonight. And even Africa, I see a special visitation. And God, you are causing us to rise like you did for Paul. And you are causing us to prosper and to flourish. And therefore, because God says, once you do my purpose and will, I will bless you and I will also cause you to flourish. For this week, let me release the blessing. Let's lift our hands. My God, I'm led today specifically to release the Abrahamic blessing. There's a man and a woman you called and they responded to your call. And you said, I will bless you. And you will be called blessed. Whoever blesses you is blessed. And whoever curses you is cursed. Blessings will flow from you and through you. You shall be a blessing to many nations. Not just one nation. It's an Abrahamic blessing. You shall be a blessing to many nations. And because of you, because what I've put inside you, God is saying, that which is inside you will be needed all over the world. And by virtue of what you have inside you, you shall be a blessing everywhere you go. You are blessed when you come, and you are blessed when you go. The fruit of your womb is blessed. The work of your hands is blessed. You shall lend to many nations. You shall borrow from none. You shall be head and not tail. You shall be top and not bottom. Because of this blessing, your pain is broken. The same way Jabez's pain was broken. Because of this blessing, your boundaries are expanded. Because of this blessing, the hand of God is upon you. Because of this blessing, you shall be kept from evil. This blessing is redefining your name, like Jacob's name was redefined. This blessing is taking you to a new destiny. You have been struggling for a long time, but that struggle is over because I'm releasing the blessing that breaks the struggle, and I'm releasing the blessing that brings down mountains. You will walk on level ground because God is speaking something to somebody here. As you make God's business your business, then God's blessing shall be showered upon you. And therefore you're blessed on Monday, blessed on Tuesday, blessed on Wednesday, blessed on Thursday, blessed on Friday, blessed on Saturday, and blessed this coming Sunday. You're coming back with a testimony. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 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 Now, turn to the person next to you. Just greet them. Tell them you are blessed more than you know. You are blessed more than you know. And our children, I see they are coming in. They are also blessed. We are all blessed. And now may the grace and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.